Okay, we start here from the Mishnah on the bottom of Klaf Adam from Bet. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Behema Gasa, a larger animal, Shishap'a Charer Adam, that discharged a cake of blood, Harizuti Kaver, you have to bury it, Uptura Min HaBechora, subsequent births to this animal will be Ptura Min HaBechora. Tani Rabbi Chia, Eina Mitama Lo B'Maga V'Lo B'Masa, this birth that came out of this Behema Gasa does not have a din of Tumat Magam Masa. Tumat Magam Masa would have been related to a Nevela. So that's assuming that it was a dead fetus that was discharged over here. You would expect there to be Tumat Maga Masa. Rabbi Chia says there is no Tumat Maga Masa. Umachar De'ena Metama Lo B'Maga V'Lo B'Masa. If it's not Metameh Bid Tumat Maga Masa, which means that it's not a fetus that just came out of here, it's not something that is mitama bin nevela, a mighty kaver. Why do you have to bury it? The reason to bury it is because it's possible that this was kadosh b'bechora. Possible that it was a male firstborn that was a bechora, which is a sur b'hana'a, and therefore you bury it because of that worry. But if you're burying it because of that worry, we should also worry about the fact that it is tameh. My answer is kedei the farsima shiniftera mina bechora. That's come to publicize that this animal now, this birth that it's had right now, is poteret from the bechora. The next child born to this animal would not be chayav in bechora because it already discharged something that counts as peter rechem. So Labemra, if that's the case, the Vlad Ma'al Yohi. If you want to say that it's patur min ha-bechor, that means, or the definition of being patur min ha-bechor is that you had a birth. If you had a birth, then you had a Vlad Ma'al Yohi. You had some fetus that was discharged from here. If you have a fetus that's discharged from here, amayin mitama, lo b'magav, lo b'masa. Why isn't it tameh? You can't have both sides. You can't have it be good enough to be poter you from bechor, and yet not be tameh magal masa be tumat nevela. You have to have either both. It's a vlad, and therefore you're patur, but it's also mitamat tumat nevela. Or if it's not mitamat tumat nevela, that means whatever was born here is not a vlad, and then you're not patur mina bechora. Now Rabbi Yochanan, mishum bitul berov nagupa. This has to do with the fact that we have a bitul berov. As a Rabbi Yochanan the tameh, and this is Rabbi Yochanan the shita do damar. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Shimon amru devar echad. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon have the same shita. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had amra, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov found in our Mishnah. And Rabbi Shimon mahi. Where's the Rabbi Shimon? Ditznan v'mishnah nida shelia babayit. If you have this placenta or afterbirth in the house, habayit tamei. House is tamei because we assume that there is a dead fetus that was discharged here. And it's mitameh tumat ohel lo shesh shiliyah v'lad, not because the placenta afterbirth is the blood, ela she'en shiliyah below vlad. There is no such thing as a placenta afterbirth without a fetus being discharged. It's a siman that there was a fetus discharged here. Rabbi Shimon Omer, vlad nimok ad shelo yatsa. Shimon says that the fetus dissolved, was crushed before it came out. So what is Rabbi Shimon saying? He's saying that the reason of Rabbi Shimon is the same reason as Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov here. And Rabbi Yochanan said the reason for both of them is that they're batel berov. And that is Rashi explains over here. It's berov, l'achi ena mitama, shebatela basar berov, dam v'ginunim shiyotzim mimo. That the basar, which is the item that would be mitameh here, is batel with the blood and the ganinim, which are really different colored liquids that come out with it. Even though there was a fetus, Rabbi Shimon agrees with that. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov also agrees over here that there was a discharge of a fetus. But that's with regards to being patur min ha-bechora. That's with regards to the fact that when the shaliyah comes out, we know there's a vlad coming out. But with regards to tumah, whatever the item that's gemima tameh, that is batel berov. The basar has been dissolved in the blood and the liquids that are associated with this embryo, with this fetus. And therefore, it's not mitameh b'magal masa. And by the case of Rabbi Shimon, it's not mitameh b'ohel, it's not mitameh the bayit. Because even though there's a blood here, the tumaz needs batel berov. And over here, even though there's a peter rechem, nevertheless, it won't be mitameh b'magal masa like tumat nevela, again, because it's batel berov. So that explains our Mishnah, as well as Rabbi Shimon Shita in the Mishnah Nida, and that's Rabbi Yochanan connects their two shitot, where you have something where they say there is a birth, but despite the birth, there is no tumah. You're right, it's not hatam. The Mishnah Nolot. Ein l'nefelim t'gachat kever ad she'agilu rosho kipika. The fetus does not open the womb until its head is as round as a pika, which is a coil. Maika pika. What is a pika? Amar Rabuna kapika shel tzemer. It's like a coil of wool. Amar lechia barav, the Rabuna, Rabbi Parish, explain to us, shel sheti or shel erev? Is it the coils of the warp or the coils of the woof? The difference being, as Rashi points out over here, that when it comes to the sheti, which is a much thinner string, whereas the erev, which is the woof, is a thicker string. Samalei Tanya, we have a braita that addresses that. Pika shel sheti, divri Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir believes that it's a coil of the warp. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shel erev, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's a coil of the woof. Rabbi Elazar ber Rabbi Tzadok Omer, mishir'u tififiyot. Rabbi Elazar ber Rabbi Tzadok comes to argue on the Mishnah from Olot. When we're talking about the Mishnah Olot, the Tanna Kamma said, how does the child have to look, or the fetus have to look, in order for there to be what's called petichat kever? As we saw, the Tanna Kamma says, "Yigilu rosh kepika." Its head is as round as the grounded like the coil. As the Rebbe Tzedek says, "Mishiru tififiyot." When you see the tififiyot, my tififiyot, what are these tififiyot? Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mishum, Rebbe Elazar ber Tzedek, kacha yu mefarshim b'Yerushalayim. This is the way explained in Yerushalayim. Kipredashu korat latil memel, like a female donkey that crouches to urinate. V'nireit pika mitoch pika. And you see within it a round within a round, or coil within a coil. Let's just go through this. We have a machloket about a fetus that's being born. This is a stillborn, and it's going to be metameh when it comes out. Because it's a stillborn, it's a dead fetus. A dead fetus is going to be metameh like a human being, like an Adam. And when it's discharged from the woman, it will create tumah. As long as it's inside the woman, it will not create tumah, because it's tumah blu'ah. Tumah that is totally encased, enclosed inside of the woman, and therefore it has no impact in terms of tumah. It only will give tumah once it leaves the womb. The kever being the womb, tichat kever being the opening of the womb. How far does the womb have to open in order for it to be tumah, what we call bokat, v'ola, bokat, v'yeredet, that there's enough of an opening there that the tumah blu'ah is now exposed to the outside, and will be metameh the yol, he'll be metameh the bayit. So that's what, as Rashi explains, pitechata kever, isha shemeit, ubra b'me'a, a woman who has a fetus that's dead inside of her, she can have a stillbirth, v'yeshuva l'mashber, she's now come to birth this stillborn, niftach kever rechem, b'vayitzeh, and her womb opened up in his house. V'lo yetzah v'lad. They didn't bring the fetus out yet. V'lutziah l'bayit acher, and then they moved her into a new house. Tamei b'bayit harishon. The first house is tamei already. Kilo nolad sham, as if it was born there. Did tum'ah bokatu. That it's like tum'ah bokat, that's trapped in a location that has an opening. It's an ohel, that has an opening that comes out of it, and it pushes out because of that opening. Hu adin b'tichah d'kever, no the nefelim elo nefel she'igil rosho ke var sha'av rosho. Now this is true by nefelim as well, by any miscarriage that she has, that the time that it becomes tamei by petichat hakever is only if the head is rounded enough to force the opening of the womb in that manner. So if the head is rounded like that, it will force the opening of the kever, and therefore even if the child is not born, is still born, or this miscarriage is not yet born, it will be matamei the house she was in, because it forced the womb open, and that's enough to allow the tumah to exit the womb and affect the house that she's in. So the machloka between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is, what is the size of this head, this fetus, in order to have it be that when the woman begins to birth already, the house becomes tamei. The Tanna Kamma says it has to be kepika, has to be like a coil of wool. And the coil of wool we saw was a machloket, whether it was shel sheti or shel erev, whether it's the warp or the woof. And that is the sheet of the Tanna Kamma. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov comes along and says, no, it has to be like tififiyot. Now these tififiyot are two rounded rings or coils that come together. And that's what he describes here, that the kfreda that crouches in order to urinate, she exposes her birth canal when she does that. And then looking at the birth canal, there are, anatomically, the female donkey has two coils or rings that you can see inside, and she exposes them when she urinates. And as Rashi says, pika mitoch pika, that's tififio, tre zimne, pi, hainu pika, that it has the two mouths that open up, two rounded areas that open up. So if that's the size of the head, or that's what the head needs to look like, in order for it to be considered a ptichat hakever, to bring the tuma out. Amar Rav Huna, shemati shtei pikot, achat shel sheti v'achat shel erev. I heard about two coils that have halachic implications. One of them was said about Shati, about the warp, and Vachad Shalerev, and one said about the wolf. Kiata Rav Dimi, I'm Rav Yochanan, Rav Dimi came and said a name Rav Yochanan, Shalosh Pikal Shamati. I heard three coils that have halachic implications, and again, he doesn't know what they refer to. Achad Shel Shati, Vachad Shalerev, the same, the warp and the wolf. Vachad Shel Pikak Dola Shel Sakain. And one of them I heard about the large coil of the sack weavers, bailing the farish. And again, I don't know how to explain what the halakhic ramifications of this are. Kiata Ravin, Hirsha Mishmei Rav Yochanan. When Ravin finally came, remember, Dimi and Ravin are coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and they're bringing the Shmuot of Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. So Rav Dimi came first, and he had, in the name of Rav Yochanan, these three pikot, but he forgot what the halakhic connection was. So when Ravin came, he brought Mishmei Rav Yochanan, that Shalisha Kishel Sheti, the woman, the halachic ramifications are by when it comes to a woman birthing, that is Shosheti, a coil Shosheti, meaning that the ubar inside, if its head is rounded like the Pika Shosheti, that's enough to consider the Tumah to have left the woman, and if she's in a house, she'll be in a tomato house. Shel Behema, when it comes to Behema, the opening of the womb will have to do with Kishel Erev. That's to be Bika of Erev, there'll be a bigger opening. Now over there it's going to deal with, it won't be Tumah Bluba, there you're going to have to actually touch it. If you're birthing the Behema, the Ro'eh is birthing the Behema, if he goes all the way into the Behema, and it's still within the womb, and the womb's not open, then there's Tumah Bluba, he's not Tameh. But if it's already opened up the womb to the size of a Pika Shel Erev, then if he touches the fetus that's dead inside the nevela, then he's tamei tumat nevela. So that would be regards to a behema. And then the pika gdola shel sakayim is kitnan. Like the Mishnah in Olot, it's also Tosefta and Kelim. Gush haba mi beta pras mi eretz amim. If you bring in a clod of earth from outside of Eretz Yisrael, then the chachamim were gozer on earth or the dirt that is brought in from chutz la'aretz, that it's mitamei tumat hamet, basically. Shiro, how big does it have to be in order to have that classification of tumat eretz amim? Kepika gadola shel sakain, that is the size of the large coil spool of the weavers, the sack weavers. Shehu, which is also equal to the chotem hamartzufim, the seal of the leather bags, v'yeshno b'tzad elyon shel megufat achavit halachmit. It's also similar to the stopper, the cover of the jugs from Beit Lechem. And again, what Tosfot points out over here is that this migufa, this seal on top, this stopper on top of the jug, has a ke'in beit yad, shosim le'ochza. It has some sort of little handle that they put in it in order to hold it, vuagul, and it's round. So that round shape is similar to the shape of the chotem ha-martzufim, the seal of those leather bags, as well as the same size as the pika gdola shel sakaim, the coil, the spool of the sack weavers. So all of those have the same size, they're a larger size, but that will be the minimum shiur of gush, of dirt, earth that you bring from Eretz Amim, that has a din of Tumat Ohel, Tumat Amet, that was that they were gozer, the Chachamim on Chutz La'aretz. Amar Reish Lokish, Mishum Rav Yehuda, Nesi'ah, Halokeach, Tzir Me'amaretz, Meshiko B'mayim V'tahor. Shlokish says, the name Rav Yehuda, Nesi'ah, that a person who purchases fish brine from an Amaretz, he can put it into the mikveh, and it'll be Tahor. So let's deal with a little background here. First of all, he's buying from an Am Haaretz. So the fear here is that the Am Haaretz is Tamei, and therefore he will be Mitamei the Tzir, the brine. So now, if this brine is Tamei, you want to be Mitaher, the brine. So how do you Mitaher the brine? You take it and you put it in the mikveh. But we know that when it comes to the mikveh only works for Kelim, only works for Adam, does not work for Ochlim. Ochlim can't go to the mikveh and be Tahor. There's one exception to that rule, and that is water. Water, even when it becomes tamei, can be nitar al yidei submersion in the mikveh. And that is because there's a din by something that is tamei, ochel that is tamei, that if you are shotel, if you plant it, the growth from that which is planted is considered to be tahor. So if you take some sort of chumat mea and you plant it, then when it comes out, when it grows again and it's mechubar la'aretz, it becomes tahor. So to over here, we consider the placement of water back into the mikveh, which is also made of water, as if you made them into a single entity. It's like you planted the water in the mikveh, which is tahor, and therefore the water that you put in there will be tahor. Now, why would you do such a thing? The reason to do this is if you have potable water in a cup. You have potable water in a cup that is tamei. You have a mikveh. The water in the mikveh is not potable water. So you can't just go and take water from somewhere else and replace the water. You want to be metahir the potable water you have in the cup. So you fill the cup up to the top, to the rim, and then you submerge the cup into the mikveh. When you submerge the cup in the mikveh, it's now mechubar to the mikveh and it'll be tahor. But the potable water will remain inside the cup because it was filled to the brim, and the mikveh water will remain on the outside because there's nothing for it to displace in there. So you submerge it and then take it out. The potable water will remain. It will become tahor because it was submerged in the mikveh, and then you have what you want. Say, with regards to this brine, the brine is made up of two parts here. It's made up of water, and it's made up of the actual fish brine itself. Now the fish brine itself is not mekabel tumah because it's zeab alma. It's a discharge from the fish that is like it's quote-unquote sweat. It's the same way that the Gemara views may peirot, the juice that comes out of the peirot, which is also doesn't have a din of mayim, has a din of zeya ve'almo. So over here, the brine is not mekabel tuma, but the brine is mixed with water. The water can be mekabel tuma. So that's what the statement of Rish Lakish is. Mimonofshach. Imaya ruba ninhu. If the water is the rove, Kevin David Lu Hashaka, since he submerged it in the mikveh and did his hashaka, the hashaka being kissing, kissing means that you submerge it to the point where it's attached to the mikveh, comes a part of the mikveh, Tari Luhu, then the water is tahor. Ve'iruba tsirninhu, if the rove here is brine and the water is the minority, tsir lav bar kibule tumahu, tsir is not in the world of tuma because it's zeh ba'alma. Ma'ika mishum hanach miyuta demayo. So what do you have left that can become tamei? The minority that is water. Hanach batluhu biruba. They're batel to the rove of brine. So you have that in both directions. If the majority is water, the water is mevatel the brine in order to make it entirely water. And when you submerge it in the mikveh, now it's tahor because the water now became attached to the mikveh like any other water. And it will become tahor in the mikveh. On the other way around, if the brine is the majority and the water is the minority, even though the water can be mekabel tumah, when you submerge it in the mikveh, it won't help because the majority is brine. Nevertheless, because brine is not mekabel tumah, and then rubo kukulo, and the whole thing is brine now, it's not mekabel tumah. Now Tosfot does ask over here, why don't we apply the issue of tam? We have a din when it comes to objects, tam ki kar, that if you impart flavor to something, that makes it as if the object is extant and still there. So over here, the brine is much more flavorful, potent than the water. And if it imparts flavor to the water, even though it's the minority, it still should have impact over here. It should not be determined by rove, it should be determined by tam. So Tosfot says something very important here, that tam is only a determining factor when it comes to achila. By tuma tara, tam kikar is irrelevant. Tam does not matter when it comes to tuma. And therefore over here, even though there might be tam, it may be noted in tam here, that's irrelevant when it comes to tuma. Tuma is not interested in tam. It's interested in the objective facts. Do we have a robe? Do we have a minority? We don't look as tam as the factor to determine about tuma. And he brings another example by nevela, that's the same thing. That even when you have a mix-up of nevela and basar shchuta, that when it comes to linyan tuma, we look at the robe. Even though if you cook them together, the basar nevela would impart flavor into the basar shchuta, and a tam ki ikar would mean that it's still extant there inside of the flavor. Nevertheless, we say batel barov the gabei tumah. So we might say something is batel barov betumah, even though the gabei achila, it would not be batel barov because it still has tam ki ikar and the tam would impart flavor. Alright, so now, that's the statement we get from Reish Lakish. So, Amar Abirmiyo, lo shanu elo bo behen pito. That this brine that Reish Lakish says is okay to use once you've dipped it in the mikveh, that's only true if you're dipping, using as a dip for your bread. Avalik deira, if you want to pour it into your pot on the fire to use it as a flavoring for the pot, lo. There you can't use it because matzah min et mino v'neur. Because the common minim find each other v'neur and they bring it back to life. So over here, let's assume that the mixture they has is a majority brine. Since it's a majority brine, it's tahor because the majority of brine here overcomes, overwhelms, overtakes the water. And therefore what you have here is an object that is tahor because of the robe that's brine. You pour that into the gedera. You pour this into the pot that's cooking whatever object you have inside of it, there's also water in that pot. Now, when you pour the brine to flavor the water inside of the pot, what ends up happening is that the water in the brine finds the water in the pot, and it's Choser B'Neor, wakes up again. It comes back to life. Because when we say Batel Barov, we discuss this many times, do we say that as if it doesn't exist anymore, and it gone legam, right? Or do we say that that's a halachic reality right now, that Batel Barov means that we just are mityaches, we just deal with the rov, but that doesn't mean the minority doesn't exist. And for some reason later on, if the minority comes into contact with something, that will make it the majority, or open up the possibility that it overwhelmed the object that's there, then it will come back. And that's what we have here. That the minority here, the miuta of mayim, now mixes with the water that is inside the pot. It makes the water tamei. The water in this cup with the brine was tamei. We know that. When Amaretz handled it. So the water that was in that cup was tamei. We were not considering it because the robe was brine. But now when you pour into the pot, that tamei water mixes with the water in the pot, makes the water in the pot tamei as well. And now you have a ton of water that's tamei, and it ruins your k'dera. Your k'dera is now tamei because of this idea of what's called choser v'neur. It came back. It brings back the tuma. It loses its bitul, and now the tuma is alive again. I say, Yoti Rav Dimi, v'kamar l'hai shmaititu. Rav Dimi said over this memra of Reish Lakish and then modified by Rav Yirmiya, Amalei Abaye, v'chi tuma shibatla chazra v'neura? Since when is tuma that already became batel, how does it come back to life all of a sudden? So Amalei, v'adlo tizbera? You don't hold of this concept of chozer v'neur? You don't hold of this concept that something can come back to life, even though it's been nit batel, you can bring it back? V'hatnan. It's an explicit Mishnah. Sa'at Trumat Me'ah Shenafal, the Me'ah Chulin Teorin. You have a Sa'ah of Trum'ah that is Teme'ah. It falls into a barrel full of 100 Sa'ah worth of Chulin Teorin. Reason using the 100 over here is because we know that Trumah is Batel 100 to 1. Again, that's a Machlok at the Mishonim, whether they need 100 to 1 or 101 to 1. But over here at least it sounds like it's 100 to 1. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Tirom V'tirakiv, you take it out, meaning that you remove one sa'ah from this mixture to represent the truma that went in there. Shani Omer, hisa ashnafla, hisa ashalta. I assume that the sa'ah that fell in is the sa'ah that I'm removing. We know that the truma that went in there is truma tmeya. Truma tmeya, what do you do with truma tmeya? It has to be burnt, it has to be destroyed. So we have an argus over here, tirom v'tirakev, that you take it out, according to Ozerog, and then you let it rot on the side. Tosafot brings from the Yerushalmi that it's tnei tisaref, that tirom v'tisaref, which is usually what you do with trumat tmeah, as you burn it, you don't let it rot. The Rabbeinu Tam explains that tirakev and tisaref are kol echad. They're synonymous. And the other possibility is, you could say that there's a machloka between B'nai Bavel and B'nai Yisrael from a Shas Alano to Shas Yerushalmi about whether it's Tirom and Tirakev, what do you have to do with Rikov, or whether it's Tisaref. That's a Mamar Muzgar, that's just parenthetical issue. But we're focused over here is that Rabbi Lezer says you take out one Sa'ah in order to be the, represent the Trumat Me'ah, and we don't know what the status of the remaining Chulin is. He doesn't address that here. Chamim Arim, Taleh V'Tiachel. Taleh means, it'll be Batel. V'Tiachel, and then you can eat it nikudim, dry, o klayot, roasted, o tilosh b'mei peirot, or you can knead it in fruit juices, o titchalek li'isot, or you break it up into small pieces to different doughs. As long as you have a kebetza in one location, because we know that kebetza from the truma, we don't want to have a kebetza of the truma together in one place, because kebetza can be conveyed to ma. Once you break it below a kebetza, it won't convey to ma anymore, and it won't be a problem for us. Rashi says that taleh means a lashon of bitul, and not a lashon of harama, to take it out. That's what says that he agrees with Rashi, he thinks that's right. There are obviously others that read it as taleh means to take it out. Taleh means it's batel. And then you can, the whole mixture together, you can eat it. Either dry, roasted, kneaded with fruit juices, or you can do, knead it normally, but you have to keep the isot, you have to keep the dough less than a kebetza. The reason for that is that we don't want to bring it into a position where it can be mitameh. When you keep it dry, it can't be mitameh, because it'll need a liquid in order for it to be mekabel, to spread the tumah, or be mekabel tumah, because it's not mitkasher the kabel tumah. And since the no liquid passed over it, so it's not muksha the kabel tuma, the chulin, therefore it will not accept tuma from the truma. Or you do it roasted. Again, what keeps it dry. Or you knead it with fruit juices. And we just said before, fruit juices aren't one of the shiva'at ha-mashkim that are makshir lekabel tumah. And therefore, if you're not makshir the object, it won't be mikabel tumah. Or again, you break it down into smaller pieces where there's never can be a kabetza of the truma there, so there can be no conveyance of tumah. V'tani Allah, on that we asked, otan chulin the Rabbi Elezer mate alayan. What happens to the chulin of Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer just told us, you take out the piece, the musa'a, and we say that that was the truma, and then you tira cave, which either means you let it rot or you burn it. But what about the chulin that remains? After you remove that sa'a, the 100 sa'a that's left behind, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, what's its din? The answer, Tani Allah, is that yochlu nikudim, o klayot, o yolosh b'mei perot, yitchalekli sop, v'avachalei kabetza b'makom echad. So that the same thing that the Chachamim say about the mixture as a whole, Rabbi Lezer says about the chulin that remains. Why does Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov require that? If he thinks that the sa'ah that you took out is the sa'ah truma,
and if the sa'ah truma is still really there, it's nitbatel berov.
That means that there's no more truma tmeah inside of this chulin that remains. So why does he have any need to have all these precautions about not having it be mixture of the kabel tuma if it's already gone? He says, gzeira, the gzeira is shema yavi kav chulin tmeim. He'll bring a kav worth of chulin tmeim bimakom acher. V'kava od mimin zeh. And I'll bring a kav and a little more from this. Savar, if talinu beruba, I'm going to be batel, mevatel et berov. Now, the fact that over here he says, if he brings it together, it sounds like he's doing it on purpose. And as Tosfot says, we know, tema, ma yo'il, what will this help for? Ein mevatli nisur v'chatfila. V'afilu shogeg, in bitlu, enu mivutal, if it happens at shogeg, it's not. V'atel l'mandamar begitin, naflu, nitpatsu, ben shogeg, ben mezid, lo yalu. So one possibility is that there is a mandamer that it says b'shogeg it can work. Maybe you can say omer mutar here, which we say in other places. Omer mutar is a din in shogeg, not the mezid. So since it said omer mutar, and there is an opinion that says b'shogeg you can be mevatel, so maybe that's the opinion. Or you can suggest over here, it doesn't mean literally that he brought them together. It means that they fell together. It happened to be that they fell together and then they're going to be batel. We're just using the active form to describe what happened. But that's not that he actively brought them together. It just happened to be that they fell together. And now what's the din? So what happens here is you bring a kav of chulin that is tameh and a kav and a little more of what's left over from this mixture that you removed the truma from, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And you put them together. Well, the kav of chulin is tameh. The kav and a little more of the chulin that you brought from that mixture is tahor. You put them together, it's batel berov. The rov is tahor, the minority is tameh, batel berov. The problem is here, zesavar itvelinu beruba, v'kevin te'ikahai mashu, matzam minet minyo v'neyor. Over there, what's the possibility? That there is some truma that's left in the residual. In the mixture, on a prorated basis, we're going to assume that the chulin has this truma tmeah mixed into it. So every 1/100th of this is going to have Trumat Me'ah in it. So that Trumat Me'ah that comes out along with the kav that you took out of that mixture, that had Trumat Me'ah, it's batel. So it has no meaning because it's batel. On the other side, you have a kav of chulin tmein. So you say, my kav and a little more is mevatelet. Then we say, no, that little piece, that little mashu, oh, that you have that is the majority here, that was trumat tmeah, that was tameh. Matzam minat mino, it finds the chulin tmein on the other side, and they join together, it forces together, and now you have the robe being tameh, or even mechsa mechsa, even if it becomes 50-50, that's tameh, you have a problem now, because it's not mevatel the tumah on the other side. So that's the zera over here. Zera is maybe you'll use this mixture to be mevatel something else. The mixture contains within it tumah that was nitbatel. That tumah of the nitbatel will come to life. It's mixed with something else that is tameh. And so that's what we're worried about here. What do you see from that? That it is chozer v'niyor. It's clear over here that the Mishnah believes that you could have something come back to life even after it was nitbatel. So Abaye says back to him, Amalei, im tumah oreret tumah, tara oreret tumah. Says you're mixing and matching. Over there I have chulin tmein, and I have tumah tmeah that was nitbatel. When they come together, they can bring each other back to life. I mean, the chulin is tameh can bring back to life the truma tmeah, because they're both tmeim. Over here, in the case of the brine, you're trying to have something that's tahor bring back to life something that's tameh. The brine contains within it brine, fish brine plus water. Water that's tameh. You pour it into the gdera has water in it as well. What type of water is in the gdera? Tahor water. Is tahor water in the ikdeira? And you're saying to me that that minority of tamei water that was mixed with the brine is going to come into the pot, come back to life, and make the water in the pot tamei. Who says that chozer v'nira works that way? Chozer v'nira may only work when he finds a match. When it finds a match. What is the match? It has to be the same object, and it has to be tamei. So in the case of this truma tamei, you bring it together with chulin tamein, together with truma tamei. So that'll bring the truma tamei, that's nitbatel, will bring it back to life. But in our case over here, we have the water that is tamei, that gets mixed with water that's tahor. That you have a match. But tahor and tamei is not a match. And therefore the water in the kedera may not bring back to life the water that's tamei inside of the mixture with the brine. He's differentiating within chozer v'nir. Chozer v'nir works in a match in terms of the properties of the item, physical properties of the item, meaning water and water is enough. Or does it also have to do with the spiritual properties of the water? You mean it has to be tamei in order to bring it back to life, or can it be tamei and tahor? And that's the machlok between them. Everybody agrees you need the physical properties to match, but the question is, do you need the spiritual properties to match? The way the expression of Rabbi Yirmiya is that it's the physical properties enough. The fact that it's tamei water and tahor water, that's irrelevant. It's water. Water and water together, it brings it back to life. But he says, I want to distinguish. It's only a match when both the physical and spiritual properties match. It has to be tamei water that brings tamei water back to life. If I'm dealing with tahor water here, that's not going to bring the tamei water back to life. And therefore, I disagree. I think you can even use this fish brine to put in the pot and to flavor in the pot, because that water won't come back to life unless there's tamei water in the pot. If you have tamei water in the pot, you really don't need to worry about the fish brine. The pot's already problematic because of the tamei water that's inside of it. Abai agrees to the, in principle, to the idea of chozer v'nayor, but he differentiates between when it's applicable or not applicable. Now we had in the Gemara, in the end of Chulin, we had it in a number of other places, that salek et mino, take away the min, misha eno, as if it's not there, v'she'eno mino rabba alav u'mevadlo. And the eno min that's left behind will come and be mevatel it. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Why don't we say when you put it into the kdeira, matzah min et mino, the waters find each other, and then the remainder of the kdeira, or the brine that's together, they'll come and be mevatel at the min. The she'eno mino will be mevatel the min over here. Why don't we say that? So Tosfot says, the hotam, em mino nosar ala mikocha isur shenitarev. Over there, the min is only asur because it got mixed together with the other min. V'yev shar l'habdilo, and you can't separate them. Makom makom sheish no heter hu. But wherever it is, it's still heter. The fikach shayach l'mar salek, that you can remove it. V'heicha de mino atzmo mitamei machmat magam mayim atmeim, ain't shayach l'mar bo salek. Over here, if the tamei water comes into contact with the tahor water, it makes the tahor water tamei. So you can't say, min v'mino, take them out, and then the she'eno mino comes and is mevatel. Because the min v'mino over here is ne'apach liot one min. It's not min v'mino, it becomes one min, which is everything is mayim tamei. Over there in the cases that we brought in Chulin and other places where we say it's min v'mino, the min and the min remain separate. So min and mino remain separate. So we say they're irrelevant to the case, because min v'en mino is eno batel. So we say, look, let's look at the min that came in as if it's not there. And the she'eno mino that's left with the tamei part will be mevatelet. But that only works if mino of heter and mino of isur remain independent objects. But if you put them together and then become a single entity of isur, then there's no longer min mino, min of heter and min of isur. So that's why over here that's not applicable. Now this very large Tosafot deals with when do we apply chozer v'nayor. It's basically a question in Shas, how do we apply it? Here we got some definition from our Gemara. The major problem has to deal with a Gemara that we saw in Avodah Zarah. Is that if you're pouring wine, yayin nesech, from a chavit, from a barrel, from a pitcher, into a boar, all day long, if you keep pouring it in, this is what you're asking to me, rishon batel, as each drop from the yayin nesech enters the boar is the majority, each drop is a minority, it's mivatelet. That is mivatelet. So how could you say that? Why don't we say over here that at a certain point, it's chozer v'nior. Because at a certain point, the wine of the yayin nesech will become the majority in the boar. You'll pour it at first, so it's mevatelet. But then at some point, the yayin nesech that you're pouring in there exceeds the original wine that was there.
You still have those matches.
Right, all those drops that were in nitbatel should be chozer v'nior. And we don't say that. Why don't we say chozer v'nior over there? So that's a major problem that Tosfot runs into. The first way he tries to solve that, it says, That's Reish Lakish. This is Rabbi Yochanan. Tries to differentiate between it being a din of Reish Lakish and a din of Rabbi Yochanan. But he says it's a milta de pshita and all shas that isur ma'orer isur. And the Tosu tries now to come up with a definition about whether, when do we say chozer v'nir? So then he goes back and forth and he gives every permutation you can imagine, because you can see it's a large Tosfot here, about when do we say Rishon Rishon Batel, and when do we not say Rishon Rishon Batel, meaning when do we say Chozer V'Neor. So one of the things deals with the machloket we saw in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah about Rishon Rishon Batel. Rashi said Rishon Rishon Batel forever. Keep pouring it in, it's Batel as long as you want. Tosafot over there says, Achi Agia the Rove, until it reaches the point of Rove. Once it reaches the Rove, we don't say Rishon Rishon Batel anymore, and it comes back, it's Chozer V'Neor, and it makes it Asur. Over here, Tosafot introduces a possibility. It's in the name of Rabbi, but I think the name of Rabbi here, I think it means the read in the Tosafot. He says that it's up to the point where it gives tam. If it gives flavor, if the, what you're pouring in is going to give flavor to it, that means shishim, then it's no longer batel, rishon, rishon, batel. So it's even more machmir. That when you're pouring this isur into the heter, the isur will not be nitvatel once it reaches the point that it gives flavor, once it reaches 60 to 1. If the heter is no longer 60 to 1 over the isur, then it's no longer batel and it's chozer v'nir. So Tosfot has a difficulty with that. It's a very difficult explanation. And therefore, Tosfot moves to differentiate between whether it's isur falling into heter or heter that is falling into isur. And therefore, we'll differentiate about rishon, rishon, batel, depending on the direction that you're going. And he says, V'chein nir lo ikar, rishon, rishon, batel. When do we say that each drop that drops in is batel? Davka ad shishim. That's only until 60 to 1 could appreciate. That's true, be isura the goetera. That's when you're pouring isur into heter, like the case in Avodah Zarah, pouring yayin nesech into the wine that's heter in the boor. Then each drop is nitbatel, but that only works as long as there's 60 times more heter than there is isur. Once you cross over that threshold, it's no longer batel, it's chozer v'neyur, and it's no longer batel. Ubehetera the go isura, when you're talking about heter that falls into isur, bechol shehu. That's even bechol shehu, meaning that as each drop of heter goes in there, it's batel, the gabi the isur, and it's never chozer v'niur. But that's only true by yayin nesech, because yayin nesech is so chamur. Aval b'shar isurim, in other isurim, afilu heter lego isura, chozer v'niur. That even when you have heter dropping into isur, it'll come back to life. Heter shurabba alav achibo shishim, until it has 60 to 1. So what Tosfot suggests over here is that yayin nesech is a unique circumstance. That's number one. Number two is that when we say rishon rishon batel, that only works until notein tam. Until notein tam, meaning that until you lose a 60 to 1 majority. That's whether isur is falling into heter, heter falling into isur. As soon as you cross over the threshold of 60 to 1, then there'll be no longer this idea of rishon rishon batel, it's chozer v'neir, and it becomes an issue of notein tam. Heter can then be mitrabeh on the isur, or the isur can be mitrabeh on the heter. Once you reach the thresholds that do that. So there'll be a nafka mina here between yayin nesech and any other isur. By yayin nesech, as well as every other isur, when it's isur falling into heter, when it's isur falling into heter, over there we'll say rishon rishon batel, at the point of notein tam. The other way around, when it's heter falling into isur, when it comes to yayin nesech, that will be permanent. It will always be problematic, there will be no chozer v'neir, it will always remain asur. By other isurim, when the heter is falling into isur, we will say chozer v'neir, at the point of shishim, 60 to 1, and then the heter will come back to life, and then it can overwhelm the isur at some point, and then it can make the mixture into a mixture of heter. So that's the conclusion of Tosfot about how chozer v'neir works, at least according to what seems to be the re. And then he says, the might depreciate, man de shari de rishon rishon bata lo shari lad shishim, lo nafklan mida I halacha kein ilav, lo tan shanoi gamashav heter anab shishuch, ovi kuchavim ustam yenam. Says that, even though I've given you this halacha, and the answer, no nafkamina la halacha. Because this is only a din in Yayin Nesech. Yayin Nesech doesn't exist today. Because the Yayin of our Ovdei Kochavim, our non-Jewish brethren today, doesn't have a din of Yayin Nesech, but has a din of Stam Yenam. Sherek Pasak Rabbeinu Tam, we've seen this together in Avodah Zarah many times, Shal Yayin, Shal Dehem Hayom is Mutar Bahana, Pnat Asur B'Kol Shuhu, B'Davar Pashutu. And that's a simple thing. Shevenir Li, Devav Shalol HaChmir Bo Chumrat De Yayin Nesech Le'asur B'Mashu. In fact, Rabbeinu Tam says that Yayin Nesek doesn't have a din of Mashu anymore, because all the wine of our non-Jewish brethren are, don't have a din of Yayin Nesek, but Stam Yenam. Came to Mutar Hana'a, Kisurim Kalim. Then he changed to be Isur Kal and not Isur Chamor. And therefore today, Yayin Nesech, quote unquote, would have the same din as Stam Yainam, because we say by the Yayin today is either Minha Gabotayim B'yadehem L'gabe their Yayin. That's not even true of Avodah Zarah, even if they use it in worship. Number one. Number two is that we don't believe that they are necessarily being worshipping Avodah Zarah, so even their Yayin is not Yayin Nesech. And therefore, Stam Yainam would be the din for all Yayin of the non-Jews today. And since it's not Asur B'Koshu, it's not Asur B'Ana, it turns into a regular Isur. And by regular Isur, already Tosfot explained that we do say Choser B'Neyor by noting Tam, both in both directions, both of Hetera going to Isur and Isur into Heter. So he says, even though I made drew this distinction between Yayin Nesech and other Isurim, that's not enough Kamino Hayom. It has no longer has halachic implications because today we treat Yayin Nesech like Stam Yainam. So that's actually the way that the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah Paskins, the Shach, the Taz does say that we should be choshesh for those that disagree, that say there is still an Isur Hana'ah, and therefore even by their Yayin we should worry about the Isur Hana'ah that is involved. Tosfos does bring also the Rabbeinu Tam, who has a different differentiation than we just saw here, which is the Rabbeinu Tam to suggest the differentiation about whether we say Rishon Rishon Batel is whether it's a non-stop flow or it's a flow that stops. If you're pouring in without any break, as you pour in, it continues to go and go and go. There, we're not going to say Rishon Rishon Batel after the point where it reaches the majority because the flow was continuous. On the other hand, if you stop and the object was Nitbatel and then you continue again, over there we will not say Choser B'Neyor. And that's how the Rabbeinu Tam solves the problem with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah versus our Gemara over here. And you pour without any hefsek, then we would say Rishon, Rishon, Batel, but it can be Choser B'Neyor. On the other hand, when there's a Nifsak, there are breaks along the way, we will say Rishon, Rishon, Batel, and it will not be Choser B'Neyor. Tosfot, for some reason, believes that our Gemara here is talking about a case of hefsek, where there were stops in between, and therefore he asks from our Gemara on that sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam, which brings him to this other sheet of Rabbi, which he explained the differentiation between Isur into Heter, Heter into Isur, that it's a unique din in Yayin Nesech. But nevertheless, you should also be aware of the fact that the Rabbeinu Tam differentiates in a different manner about the nature of the flow or the object that we're trying to be mevatel over here, and it will make a difference how it entered into the object that it's being nitbatel in. Okay, we'll stop over here.